All you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Tiger King, and this is Locked on Mizzou, your destination for partisan Missouri Tigers football and basketball talk 5 days a week. Well, quite honestly, we're going 5 days a week for the rest of the month of March at least, and well, come April, we're maybe looking at 3 days a week, it looks like. At the minimum, who knows, you might get 4 or 5 if you're actually nice to me for once, you people on Twitter. Jeez, man, you people, it is rough out there. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to do the it's rough thing. But last time on the show, I did talk about, again, Missouri's recruiting strategy with quarterbacks, kind of compared and contrast Eli and Barry Odom, at least on the surface a little bit. And I realized that while I did break down Tyler Macon's high school film and liked what I saw from Connor Bazelak, well, you know what? I want to break down Brady Cook and his high school film on Huddle as well. We'll do that in the second segment. Also coming up in the final segment, I want to talk about three more Mizzou legends that are from the past but made the top 16 of the Mizzou football madness side of that bracket. By the way, check that out and vote at LockedOnMizzou.com because that is how the entire bracket is going to be settled, with your majority rule votes. But before we get to those two topics, I would like to touch a little bit more on Woody Woodenhofer and Kim English and how I think those guys actually relate, just a little bit in my mind. And the thing is, Woody Woodenhofer, by almost any objective standard, had a very successful career as a football coach. He was with part of those legendary Steelers, Iron Curtain defenses. You know, he's thought of as a really good dude by everybody. And, you know, most importantly, if you're a Mizzou guy, he was a Mizzou football player. He played for those classic Dan Devine teams in the mid-70s. And yet, I think when you said the name Woody Woodenhofer, at least for my entire life as a Mizzou football fan, and I'll just be honest, Woodenhofer, definitely before my time, I really don't remember anything before the Bob Stull era. But just, you know, from my perspective, Woodenhofer was always just kind of looked down upon, looked at as a joke almost. And fairly or unfairly, that sort of is what it is. And I would argue it's really unfair in a lot of ways. Certainly, I'm sure Woody had his deficiencies offensively. I've no doubt about that. But, you know, let's not forget that he was the victim of the Tony Van Zandt injury. Obviously, Tony being the biggest victim, but, you know, Woody, obviously, huge blow for him. You know, he maintained that back in the day, you really only needed a handful of players, a handful of difference-making players to sort of get where he needed to go. And he thought Van Zandt, and, you know, he wasn't the only one. He was basically the number one player in the entire country, rated by, take that for what it's worth, whatever high school recruiting rankings were worth in the 1980s, but certainly a horrible break for Woody. And, you know, just getting back to Kim English a little bit, you know, I've heard that Kim, just through the grapevine a little bit, that Kim may be interested in possibly returning to Missouri someday and being its head basketball coach, not just assistant coach, but maybe their head coach. Something in the back of his mind, maybe. Doesn't mean it's going to happen anytime soon or that that's absolutely 100% his goal. Just something that he might be interested in. Again, just reading the tea leaves, hearing through the grapevine a little bit. And I would just say, take the lesson from Woody Woodenhofer and also Kim Anderson a little bit. When you go back to your alumni, your alma mater, I should say, when you're an alum, that can be really, really tough if it goes against you. And I'm sure Barry Odom probably as well. Another guy who was an excellent football player for Mizzou. A good guy by all accounts. Never did anything wrong other than didn't win as many games as we all wanted or expected. And as frankly, Barry expected himself to win as well. But I'm sure now his relationship with the university has got to be forever altered, right? It can't be quite the same warm, fuzzy feelings that we always had about Barry Odom, and certainly about Kim Anderson, who, by the way, again, he makes the Mizzou football and basketball madness bracket too, and vote for that at LockedOnMizzou.com once again. You know, Kim Anderson was Big 8 Player of the Year. He was an outstanding player for the Tigers, but nobody who is under 45 or 50 really remembers that or cares at this point. They're all entirely focused on what they saw, and what they saw was three dead last finishes in the SEC during the Kim Anderson coaching era. And I just think, you know, again, it's not like during halftime this year when the old classic players came back, despite the fact that Kim Anderson is one of the great players in Missouri history, I'm not sure we're ever going to see him waving to the crowd at Mizzou Arena anytime soon. I hope it happens someday. I really do. I know a lot of people might be disagreeing with me just because of how upset and possibly bitter they were and are about the Kim Anderson era as a coach, but I'd really like to think that we can heal that relationship at a certain point. I really would. But having said all that, again, clearly there is a fracture there. Clearly there is some at least weird feelings, at least a little bit of awkwardness now between Missouri and some of its true sons of all time. And I just hate to think that that would happen to Kim English too. But then again, on the other hand, I understand the lure if you're Kim English. This is a place that obviously he loves. Obviously he's beloved here. And, you know, if you're a guy who can make it work in college basketball, heck, I mean, look at Norm Stewart. Here's a guy who obviously had tremendous success at Mizzou, but famously never made a Final Four. It's not as though you have to be a multi-time national championship winner. You just have to put together a long, successful, consistent program. Don't get me wrong, easier said than done, but I understand the lure if you're Kim English. I really do. To be that alum like a Norm Stewart, he could see himself as maybe being that next guy, being that legend, maybe getting himself a statue. I get it. I really do. But if I'm him, I'm thinking, maybe I should try another job first before I dive completely into the Missouri thing. Let's put it that way. But speaking of diving into things, I would certainly encourage all of you to not be afraid to dive in to ordering some pizza in this weird coronavirus time from Monocles in O'Fallon, Missouri, because you know what? I've talked to their management. I've gone to their restaurant. I've had the experience. I have no doubts that they're taking all the precautions necessary to give you a safe, healthy, and satisfying pizza experience. And you know what? I got to be honest. I don't think bacon gets enough love as a pizza topping. I saw Monocles tweeting out a bacon pizza earlier today, and I got to be honest, oh, it got the old digestive tract moving a little bit faster than I wanted to. But you know what? Here's something you should want. You want to get $5 off a large specialty pizza when you mention Locked On or use the promo code Locked On. That's limit one per customer. Give them a call, 636-980-1212, because their carryout window is still up and going. And you know what? You can also get it through the Monocles app, or monocles.com, or through Grubhub. But frankly, I'd recommend it just getting it through monocles.com or calling them once again at 636-980-1212. Tell them Locked On sent you, or use that promo code Locked On. All right, well, let's talk about another potential future starter quarterback from Missouri, Brady Cook out of St. Louis, Missouri, Chaminade High School. Listed at 6'3", 210 pounds, he enrolled early. And by the way, speaking of guys who enrolled early, it appears that the NCAA is talking about giving teams, well, essentially a mini camp, which is, well, that's what spring practice is, right, for all intents and purposes. Well, now it's essentially going to be summer practice instead of spring practice. So it sounds like we're moving in that direction. And certainly if you're Eli Drinkwitz or any first-year coach, that's got to be a sigh of relief that we're already talking about getting these this off-season action in, because obviously the defense, no problem, right? Pretty much the whole staff is back. Ryan Walters is back. If you're Nick Bolton, you're feeling plenty comfortable, right? You're feeling like you're in your security blanket. You know all, you know the coverages, you know the calls, you know the language. But, you know, if you're one of these, if you're on the offensive side, it's all new. Now, don't get me wrong, some of the route combinations are bread and butter. They're running every system, but there's new language to it. There's different checks, different signals, all this kind of stuff. But anyway, I digress a little bit there. So let's get back to Mr. Brady Cook, who, again, did enroll early, and he's an interesting prospect to me, and I'll give Odom and Derek Dooley some credit that they got him on early before really it was obvious that he was a major quarterback prospect, because, well, you look at his scholarship offers on Rivals.com and you see Missouri, but then you see Austin Peay, Lindenwood, Southern Illinois. Well, I got news for you. Those are not football bowl champions, football FBS teams, Division I. I'll never not mess that up, by the way. Division I, FBS, FCS. Always got to think about it for a second. So I apologize. It's sort of like the San Diego versus Los Angeles Chargers. But anyway, I was really encouraged by what I saw from Cook on film his senior year. And again, give Derek Dooley, who's no longer here, and Barry Odom some credit, but especially Dooley, who I believe was his main recruiter. He spotted some skills with this kid and ended up signing him, getting him as an oral commitment anyway before his senior season. And Cook really busted out that senior season and had a huge season for Chaminade. And I have to say, he has a pretty good arm, has definitely enough arm to zip it through the middle of the field, but I was impressed by the touch on the deep to intermediate stuff. Quite honestly, just on the little bit of film I watched, I didn't see the deep ball accuracy nor the necessarily arm strength that I saw from Tyler Macon, but he certainly has a good enough arm. There's no problem there. And again, he's 6'3", 200 pounds, but he's a big, strong runner who actually made some guys miss too. So there's some good physical tools there. I think he's an interesting prospect, and I'm kind of glad he's there. Now that we've got him, we've got Tyler Macon coming in a year, you've got Bazelak in the class the year before, I'm liking the options that Missouri has at quarterback here all of a sudden. And I will say, you know, again, Cook, he threw it at least 45 yards in the air on one play. Honestly, a ball that was right on the money when I was watching his huddle highlights. Ball right on the money that was dropped. But, you know, again, I don't know if the deep ball is quite as strong, I should say. Can he get it out there as far as Tyler Macon? I'm not quite sure, but, you know, he's got pretty good accuracy from what I saw too. But, again, obviously, it's hard to get a good gauge of decision-making when you're watching just these highlight tapes, because that's exactly what they are. They don't show the lowlights. You know, maybe Brady Cook put this video out himself, for all I know, because, you know, at multiple points, somebody is circling the quarterback as if he's the left guard or something. Like, yeah, we got it, pal. He's the quarterback. He's the guy who's in the shotgun with the ball. We got it, but anyway, overall, I just thought, all things being considered, even if he's still somewhat of a project, I think just seeing the significant progress that Cook made his senior year is encouraging in itself. But, you know, I thought it was encouraging what I saw in film too, though frankly, I do still like Tyler Macon better as a prospect as we speak right now. And you know what? Macon still has his senior season to go, so we'll see what happens, and who knows, maybe Brady Cook will get some time for the Tigers this fall. And by the way, speaking of time, you know, we've all got busy lives these days, right? Especially me. You know, I've got this new podcast I got to do 5 times a week, got my 8-month-old daughter. I got all kinds of things on my plate, plus my day job. Well, you know what? I'm still a really curious guy who likes to learn things. So that's why I want to tell you guys about a product that I really personally enjoy called Blinkist. Really, it's got to be one of the ultimate life hacks because it's really hard to find time to just sit down and read these days. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. Well, there is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. You see, Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. And I got to be honest, I'm a podcast fan, so I absolutely love these 15-minute Blinkist books. It's just a fantastic way to be able to learn more in a shorter amount of time. In fact, one of my favorite Blinkist experiences was the book Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict, which you can check out on Blinkist right now. So for Locked On listeners, go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off, off your new subscription. Again, that's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Well, once again, I want to tell you about three classic Mizzou players, and in this case, it is all Mizzou football players that, well, frankly, if you're my age, you have no experience with whatsoever, but you know what? I'm a student of history, and I'd just like to give you all a bit of a summary on all three of these great men. And you know what? I'll start with the oldest guy, the farthest back in history, and that would be Pitchin' Paul Chrisman. And you know what? I don't want to sound sacrilegious here, but it would be no exaggeration to say that Mizzou football could be divided into the before Chrisman and the after Chrisman era. Yes, Pitchin' Paul from Maplewood, Missouri. Actually, he lettered three seasons in baseball as well, so I guess multi-sport athletes were a lot more common back in the day, but Paul was a big statuesque quarterback with a huge arm. Really, if you want to picture somebody more of a contemporary guy, think Drew Bledsoe or Joe Flacco, except with blonde hair and more handsome. But really, I mean, in 1939, again, I say before Chrisman and after Chrisman, you know, Missouri had some success. They were one of the earliest teams to start playing college football in the late 1800s. But really, their first time getting on the national map, was when they won their first outright Big Six title in 1939, led by Pitchin' Paul Chrisman. He and the Tigers absolutely romped NYU in Yankee Stadium, which was a big deal in that time. Also led them eventually to their first bowl game, the 1940 Orange Bowl, where they would lose to the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck. Also in that 39 season against a Nebraska team that was seeking its national championship. Well, Chrisman only completed four passes in the first half of that game, but, well, three of them went for touchdowns and in total 116 yards. That ended up being Missouri's first win ever over a ranked team. Now, don't get me wrong, the AP had only begun ranking teams in 1936 at that point, but still a good bit of history there. 1939 against Nebraska, Missouri's first win over an AP top 25 squad. And they also beat top 5 Oklahoma 7-6 that year, leading Paul to finish third in the Heisman Trophy voting that year. And he even finished fifth the following season in 1940. And as you can imagine, his number 44 is retired. And, well, that happens to be my high school basketball jersey number. I'm sure that's a really important bit of trivia for all of you. But anyway, Pitchin' Paul, heck of a guy and heck of an athlete, and certainly, yeah, without question, the guy who helped put Mizzou on the national map once and for all. And now I want to talk about two guys who played really good football for the St. Louis Football Cardinals, in fact. But, well, they cut their chops with the Missouri Tigers. First of all, I want to talk about Mel Gray. Well, you know, you got to love anybody who has a 97-yard kickoff return to beat Kansas. Well, even though that 1970 season was a bit disappointing, Missouri lost a lot of talent off that famous 1969 team, but anybody who was there certainly will never forget that famous 97-yard kickoff return by Mel Gray. And my goodness, the guy ran a 9.3 100-yard dash back in the day. Again, another multi-sport athlete. He ran indoor and outdoor track, but you know, he was the game-breaking type receiver. Maybe you could compare him to, I don't know, if Terry McMillan was Chase Daniel, which he certainly wasn't, but I would compare Mel Gray favorably to Jeremy Maclin. I think that's a pretty good comparison. And, you know, ultimately, actually, Gray probably had a better pro career than Maclin. Maybe not quite as long, but the peak was probably better. He made four straight Pro Bowls in the 70s for, again, those St. Louis Football Cardinals. And from all counts, he was probably the NFL's best deep threat during that time. So, again, Mel Gray, one of those maybe forgotten guys if you're of a certain age in Mizzou football history. And finally, well, speaking of Jeremy Maclin, another guy who was initially committed to the University of Oklahoma, but don't hold that against him. It's Mr. Johnny Roland. And, you know, one of two running backs along with Brock Olivo to have his jersey number retired. But guess what? He wasn't just a running back. He returned punts. He returned kicks. And unbelievably, he was an All-American defensive back, too. Now, keep in mind, Johnny Roland played in the mid-1960s. This wasn't the 40s and the 50s, back in the day where there were substitution limits that essentially made everybody other than a few guys, maybe your quarterback, play both ways. Johnny Roland was just that great of an athlete that they were like, oh, the heck with it. Let's put him out there, too. Amazingly, Johnny Roland was listed at 6'2", 207 pounds, which is a tall, big running back, and certainly a very tall cornerback, defensive back for this day and age, much less the 1960s. I mean, my goodness, was this guy ahead of his time. And he wasn't just an athlete either. I mean, Dan Devine raved about Johnny Roland's intelligence and his ability, his mental acumen. He said, "This I'm quoting here, Devine said, Johnny was highly intelligent. Was an excellent student. He was a two-way player, also excelling as a defensive back. Johnny was the first black to become captain in any sport at Missouri, and he was just a ferocious team player. I always accused Johnny of taking notes. Whenever a player didn't know what to do or had a question, he went to Johnny. Everything on our schedule was timed out to the minute, and Johnny always knew exactly where everybody was supposed to be and when they were supposed to be there. He had to have a photographic memory. That was the only explanation for knowing everything that he did." So high praise there from Dan Devine, obviously. And, well, unfortunately, sadly, Johnny was forced to sit out the 1963 season because he was accused of stealing tires from a fellow student. Essentially, somebody swapped two tires from their car, presumably some old bald tires, onto a couple new tires. And, well, Johnny Roland, according to Dan Devine, he always maintained that Johnny was covering for a teammate. And, you know, from everything I've heard, the swap the tires thing, that doesn't sound like a Johnny Roland move whatsoever. And, you know, obviously, to be voted as a captain at that time, in the mid-1960s, I mean, we're talking 1965, we're talking, yeah, pre-Civil Rights. We're talking 1 year removed, I should say, from the Civil Rights Act of 1964, just to give you some context. Again, just for context's sake, keep in mind that Norris Stevenson was the first black football player at Missouri in 1958. So for just 7 years later, for a guy like Johnny Roland to be named captain, I mean, what more what more could you say about the guy's character? What more could you say about him as a man? But you know what? I have some more to say about him as a football player. He helped lead Missouri to the 1966 Sugar Bowl. NFL Rookie of the Year in 1966 with the St. Louis Football Cardinals. And again, not only was he the bell cow running back on that 65 team his senior year, he had 6 interceptions on defense. I mean, good Lord. If I'm that dude, I never stop strutting around like I'm Chaz Bono and Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you know what I'm saying. So you know what? With all that being said, I really enjoyed that trip down memory lane, and I hope you did as well. Just keep in mind what ballers Johnny Roland, Paul Chrisman, and Mel Gray were back in the day. And you know what? As your Tiger King, we will be back on Thursday with more Locked On Mizzou talk. And I do have to remind you to check out Locked On, the NFL Draft, one of our great shows right here on the Locked On Network. Definitely check it out. And until next time, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.